I think that Vayigash has a number of hairois, instructions as to how a person should set up their house, family. The first one is really when Yosef reveals who he is to his brothers. The Maamar Musgar, just what was Pasha Pshat and what went on over here? What was Yosef HaTzadik trying to do? What was his purpose? If the part was he was trying to get them to be Mekayim the Chalayim, it was ready in his time. Everybody ready, bowed down to him. So it was ready in his time the Chalayim. That's what the Rishonim say, the Ramban, possibly that the Chalayimus were like a Nevuah, and he had to be in his time, so he did whatever he could. But now he's ready after the fact. So he's trying to get back at them. If he's trying to get back at them, so then why at a certain point did he reveal himself? Now he's got them in his hand. The Imamish has them. And what happened? What was the Shachar Batari here? So I heard from my Rishiva, Yitzhak Fagelschlag, and so a number of other Achrayim say the same thing, that really Yosef HaTzadik was the entire plan was L'Toiv Asam. It was totally for the Toiv of the brothers, for that they should be Zechat to Tshuva Shleima. We know that Tshuva Shleima is Boisa Zman, Boisa Ish, Boisa Isha, Boisa Mokim, everything that it should be exactly the same scenario, and instead of falling and flailing, a person should be able to overcome the Yetzirah. And that's Be'etzim what Yosef did. Yosef set up a situation where it was very similar to the situation that he had with his brothers before he was sold, and he wanted to see what was going to happen. And therefore what he did was, he planted Gevia in Amtachas Ben Yamin, and he wanted to see how would they now deal with Bnei Rachel. The other one of the Bnei Rachel was now here. If you look at the Midrash, and the Beit Halevi brings it down, that there was a whole Shach V'Tari between them. They tainted him, you're a Ganav Bar Ganav, your mamash, your mother also stole the Trophim, and you're stealing things as well. It was a whole back and forth, and he tainted back to them, Vasepis, you planted this here, you probably want me to stay here. It wasn't so clear, like we know the story. We got before we found that what happened at the end, we already reading the Sukkim beforehand, we know that Yosef HaTzadik was the one that stuck it inside. They didn't know what happened. So now there's a question over here. Binyamin is going ahead, and he's doing something, he's putting them all in danger, Be'etzem. And the simplest way is, as soon as Yosef HaTzadik says to him, he says, you know, everybody can go up to back home, and Binyamin stay here. That's the easiest way to get rid of him. He's causing problems again. He's putting us all into a massive of sakana, mamish. And we have a way to get rid of him. They give us a Pesach out exactly like by Yosef HaTzadik. We could just get rid of Yosef HaTzadik, put him to the side, save ourselves. They held that he was a Raidif, like the Sfarna and others, or Masber, and they have a way out. So Yosef HaTzadik did the exact same thing. And he said, now what's going to be? You have an easy way out. I'm telling you, you can all go home, and Binyamin stays here. What are you going to do? And as soon as Yehuda said, I'm going to take the place of Binyamin, he showed that he was taking achrayus, and he's willing to put himself on the line instead of Binyamin. So that's it. I was ready in his game. He says, that was what he was aiming for. That was his goal. He reached his objective by the fact that he put them into the matziv, and they were matzliach to overcome the nisayon and to rectify what they did in the past. That's al-derech hapshat, I think. Lamaitza Yosef HaTzadik is there. The first Yisoid. V'layochal Yosef HaTzadik l'chon nitzav amala v'ikur ha'itziv kol ishmi aloi v'lam ad ish yitoy v'yisfad Yosef HaLachiv. The person, Yosef HaTzadik, didn't want that his brother should be embarrassed. Memela, he called for everybody to leave. That's the first Yisoid in running a house. Anytime that bikoras, anytime that criticism has to be said, it should be said in private. No one else should be there. And very often there's a child, especially if you have a whole family, somebody does something by the table. Right? So now it's in front of the entire family. So a person could either say something there, if it's something that has to be said there, but most often, if not always, it could be the criticism could be held for later. It's better mitzad the person that's giving the criticism, it's better mitzad the person that's hearing the criticism, and certainly mitzad the bein olam lechaverei, that he shouldn't feel, b'svad Yosef HaLachiv, that they shouldn't be embarrassed from all the people that are around them. That's the biggest concern, is to make sure. Certainly with the spouse, goes without saying. with any time that anybody has anything to say really about somebody else. It shouldn't be in shul. If somebody has criticism to say to the gabbai, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be in front of other people. It doesn't have to be in front of somebody has something to say to his neighbors. It doesn't have to be when the bunch of neighbors are standing around. Whatever the situation is, it comes up, I think, the most in a family setting. There's often there's things that have to be said, especially a parent to a child. And the first thing is to bear in mind the covered of the child. I think I heard from Dov Brizak that he said that Rav Steinman said that there's a mitzvah of kabbinis bin chaves bitecho. Right? You have kabbinis avich ves imecho. There's also kabbinis bin chaves bitecho. You also have such a mitzvah. Besides the fact, simple ben al machaver. Yes, certainly a person has to be mechanech. There's has to be done in the proper way. It's first yisoid. Second yisoid is well known yisoid from Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz. That it says that when Yaakov came to Pare, so he said to him, "Vayomer Paro Yaakov, kami yimei shnei chayecho. Vayomer Yaakov al Pare, yimei shnei megura, shleishim me'ashonom, atver roim ho yimei shnei chayev, leisigus yimei shnei chayev, voisim b'migurim." Yaakov Avinu ki'ilu on his dargo complained about his life, that it was a tough life. It was a tough life, and he wasn't able to be masig the same things that his forefathers, father and grandfather, were able to be masig. And Chazal tells us that because of that he was nenash. And we know all the obvious were supposed to live to 180. Yaakov Avraham Avinu was nifter 5 years early, so we shouldn't see Esav go to Tar B'Sral. Yitzchok Tachlis lived to 180, and Yaakov Avinu lived to only 147 because he lost 33 years because of the complaining. In fact, Chaim Shmuel Levitz, he says if you count the pasuk, you'll see that it doesn't equal 33. V'yomer Yaakov al Pare, Yimei Shnei Megurei, Shleishim Me'as Shano. It's not 33. It's 20. It's about 23 words. The only way to get to 33 is from Pare's question. V'yomer Pare el Yaakov, Kam Yimei Shnei Chayecho. If you count that with Yaakov's answer, then you get to 33. So why does he deserve to lose? L'chor, the only thing that he did wrong was answer in a way that wasn't kefida darag of Yaakov Avinu, to ki'ilu complain. But where does he come from? The question. The question was Pari's question. Why did he lose years because of the question? Said Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz that Kinira, if Pari was asking Yaakov Avinu, how old are you? Standard person that you see, you don't ask the person how old are you. It must be that he looked very old. If Pare was asking Yaakov, how old are you? This means that this is a man who's extremely old. How old are you? He's saying that was what the tefillah was for. The tefillah was that if you looked that way, you gave off that impression that you have of being haggard, of being worn out, of being ki'ilu, whatever it is on the darg of Yaakov Avinu. But enough to elicit a question from somebody else must mean that you're not living with it. The hakara on your darigo that this is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is all from, there was etvas atayno also on his appearance, on the way that he appeared. That also was in some way a tayno Yaakov Avinu that he lost because of that. And that's the yisoid that I've mentioned in the past, and I think it's such a chashuv yisoid, is that what I've heard from Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz, when I first was married and was living here, especially when I was a bachur, I decided that Eretz Yisrael is a great place. It's just not the place for me to raise my children. It's just not. And then I got married and started raising my children here. And I saw, okay, there's miles here, there's miles there. Certainly things that I went to be able to work with. After my child was probably about, the oldest was probably about 7 or so, 6, 7. I said, okay, Rabbi, I know that I never thought that I would really raise my children here. But I see that there's miles here, there's miles there. What's the best place to raise your children? What's the best place to be mechanech your children? He says to me, he says, Yitzchak, the best place to raise your children is where you're going to be happy. That's the best place. Wherever you're going to be happy, that's the best place to raise your children. If you're going to America, that's the best place, but you really love to be in Eretz Yisrael. Or if you're going to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael, and how could you not? But really, you'd want to be living in America. That's the worst thing, because you're going to come home like a grump, and you're really going to be, I wish I was there. And that's the worst thing, because it creates such an atmosphere. It creates you're portraying in the house a very down, very gloomy, and a very not happy atmosphere. And that's the worst thing. That's the worst thing when a person sees their child, a parent, that they're not happy with what they're doing, they're not happy. They automatically translate it to whatever they think. That's whatever the Hashem is all about. That's what Yiddishkeit is about. That's what Chulu. That's the worst thing. That's the worst thing. The best thing is where you're happy. And Mimela in Echanami could be that you would think that A is a better place to raising your children, but if you know that you're not going to be happy there, you'll be happy over here, then that's really the best place. And that it applies to everything. It applies to the community that you choose, and it applies to a job that a person takes, it applies to a chavrus that a person learns with. How many people have told me that they, you know, they had to change chavruses, talking about over the course, not now, but over the course of the past however many years, they had to change chavruses because they would come after the second Seder, they'd be upset, and his wife took it every day, she took it hard. You know, they, you're upset at me, you know, how come you're coming home? To come in after the day in a down, come in not happy, to come in whatever it is that caused it, that's really the worst thing for being mad in the house. I'll adnei emes and for the chinuch of the house. Something. Second thing to bear in mind, and the third thing to bear in mind is, it says this Yehuda shalach lafon of Gerishno. Says that. So why, you know, why did he go to Goshen? L'sakin beis haTalmud, l'sakin beis haTalmud, Rashi says. Shemishom titzei hero. So somebody wrote down that l'horis is without a vav. It's the same letters as l'tero, which is betzim, that's what it was to make a makom tero. That means that before you come, before they came to Mitzrayim, they first built a framework for Ruchnius. And then they came. The life was built within first the framework of Ruchnius, and then you live your life. It's not that first we decide what's going to be the best job for us, and what Ruchulu, and then we'll stick in Ruchnius to wherever Ruchnius fits inside. And if Ruchnius doesn't fit inside, so then we'll have to cut corners in places. However, a person first decides where is the Ruchnius, and then he builds his life around that, that's Laharis Lafan of Gershina. First you decide what's important to me in my life, in my Avodas Hashem. What are things that I'm not going to be mevater on. I'm not going to give in to. These are things that I cannot. There's no psharis when it comes to that. Once I decide what that is, then I can build my job, my house, my community, my chavrusas, whatever it is that I'm doing, it's built around that. But first is the lahiris lafan of Gresh. The first is the person's got to decide. These are the things that are important to my ruchnius. These are the things before we get there, before we come to the community. We already decided, in that community we're going to have Torah, we're going to have ruchnius. Then I could come. But if it's first that I decide what I'm doing, and then I try to stick in Ruchnius, very often the Ruchnius is what falls by the wayside instead of the other thing. When you say this, maybe then if we could implement them, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we'll be zeichet to be maimed, Neris Yisharim Yisbarachim.